If you have the church Bible, you'd like to use that tonight. You can find this psalm on page 684. 684. It's good to be back in the pulpit this evening. For the next 6 months, I'll be preaching in the evening service while Pastor Stern preaches in the morning service. I've said before, our plan is to rotate about every 6 months. And Lord willing, we'll get back to our series in Ezekiel soon. But tonight we're going to look here at Psalm 91 and consider how the Lord is a refuge for his people. And we'll look at all 16 verses. I won't comment on all 16 verses tonight, but I will read the entire psalm to begin with. So let's hear God's word. This is the New King James Version. God's word is essential for spiritual growth. And so may the Lord bless his word to us tonight. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. May the Lord bless the reading and preaching of his word tonight. Well, when I was growing up, I got to tour the Greenbrier Bunker in southern West Virginia. It's now obsolete, but this was a bunker built in the 1950s and 60s to shelter all the members of Congress in the event of a nuclear attack. And so if they were to continue running the government, this was the intention. They needed a safe place to be able to do that, and this bunker was it. It was their place of refuge. Now, as far as I know, at least that's been reported publicly, the bunker was never used. But for 30 or more years, it was maintained and it was prepared so that there was that place for the members of Congress to go and to retreat into for protection. But I bring it up this evening because as believers in Jesus Christ, is that not what we need? And I'm not talking about in the event of a nuclear attack, though yes, it would be nice to have a bunker to go into if such a thing ever happened. But as we live in this world and we deal with the various dangers and perils, physically speaking, but also spiritually speaking, is it not true that we need a safe place to go to? That we need a place of refuge? And this is really what we learn from Psalm 91. Psalm 91 is telling us that we need a place of refuge, but also telling us that as believers in Christ, we have that place of refuge. And it's not a bunker, it's the Lord God Himself. That the Lord is our security and our peace and our help. And so in perilous times, what are we to do? We are to make the Lord our refuge. Right? We're to go into the bunker, if you will, and rest in the security of its walls. And so if you're looking at the outline, this is the main point I think that we're to take from the psalm. It's that in the midst of danger, we must make the Lord our refuge. We must find our safety and protection from God Himself. So in the midst of danger, Make the Lord your refuge. Well, let's see first the fact that you need a place of refuge. If you look throughout the psalm, and even as we just read it, that's the obvious implication, isn't it? Right? We need a place of refuge. The word refuge in the New King James Version is mentioned 3 times in the psalm, but then there are all of these synonyms for refuge that keep coming up. Words like secret place, shadow of the Almighty, fortress, under His wings, and so forth. They're all communicating the same point, that we need a place of refuge. We need a place of safety that gives us peace and that gives us comfort. And why do we need that place of refuge? This is the other obvious point from the psalm. It's because we live in a dangerous world. In verse 3, the psalmist mentions the snare of the fowler and the perilous pestilence. Verse 5, he mentions the terrors by night, the arrows that fly by day, the pestilence that walks in the darkness, and the destruction that lays waste at noonday. Verse 10, evil is spoken of, as well as the plague of destruction again. Then verses 12 and 13, we're told that there are stones to avoid stumbling over, and lions and snakes to be protected from. Now, it's mostly figurative language. Bird traps, for instance, are not necessarily the greatest threat we face in this world. But the fact remains, does it not? Right? We live in a dangerous place, in a place where there is suffering and there is sickness, where attacks are made, where people are hurt. And the psalm says that danger can be constant at times, both day and night, verses 5 and 6. That danger can strike at any moment, like the fowler's snare. It can come out of nowhere. It's different for all of us. It's different at different times. Right? But this we know, and the psalm reminds us, whether it's physically speaking or spiritually speaking, we live in a world of danger. And if we're honest, the danger can be terrifying. It can keep us up at night. It can disturb our peace. It can exhaust our bodies and stress our mind. Whether it's the possibility of cancer or a burglar, it can fill us with fear and dismay. Because what happens when you come face to face with something dangerous? Again, whatever it is. Right? It's natural to feel exposed, to feel vulnerable, and that can be unsettling. And the psalmist, you see, knows that to be true, right? This is why, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he wrote these words. He knew trouble in his own life. He's writing from experience, but also, under the inspiration of the Spirit, he knows what we are going to face as well, that he knows the trouble that we will deal with. And you see, that's why the psalmist here speaks so much of refuge. It's because no matter what your trouble is, you need a place of safety. You need protection. You need a shelter in which you can rest. You need a tower in which you are out of reach. Right? You need a sanctuary to provide you with peace and with comfort. Over the last week, we've experienced sub-zero temperatures in Lafayette. Especially with the wind. It's been unbearably cold. So cold, in fact, you cannot survive outside for very long. So how blessed we have been to have our homes throughout the day and especially at night. Right? The warm bed protecting us, the walls sheltering us. Well, as we experience the various troubles of life, that's what we need. Psalm 91 says, we need a place that protects us from the elements, that provides us with safety. We need a refuge, a place that gives us rest and peace, that calms our heart, and that dispels our fears. And thankfully, as we see secondly, we have that place of refuge in Jesus Christ. Now, this is the good news of the psalm. And so let me read again here for us, verses 1 and 2. Here we read, He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust.
And so as we look at the psalm here, and as the psalmist is making the case for why God is our refuge, there are six things I think we're to note here, six reasons why God is a place of refuge for us. And the first one is this. God is a place of refuge for you because he is the sovereign one. He is the sovereign one. And that's really what we just read in verses 1 and 2. Who is God? He is the Most High. Who is God? He is the Almighty. Who is God? He is the Lord. In other words, God is the most powerful. God is the one in absolute control. God is the king who rules over the world, who has even his enemies under his sway. And so it goes then, clearly, that he's the one who can certainly help you and protect you. Right? He's the one who can change your circumstances in a moment. He's the one who could come to your aid. Being sovereign, there's nothing God cannot do for you or keep from happening to you. God is the sovereign one. Right, second, God is a place of refuge for you because he keeps his people safe. He keeps his people safe. Now, this comes up in many places, and I want to read them, but start off here in verse 3. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. Verse 7, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Verse 10, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. And then verses 14 and 15, because he set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I'll set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Those are precious promises, aren't they? Right? These are promises that we love to hear, and we need to understand them clearly, right? These are not guarantees of protection from all harm. Our own experience proves otherwise. But they should encourage us nonetheless, because they remind us that God does protect his people. Right? God does intervene on behalf of his people. God does deliver his people from danger. It may not be guaranteed in every situation, granted, but it is always possible. In fact, we often don't realize it, but this is what God is doing for us day after day after day. He's delivering us from traps. He's protecting us from sickness. He's saving us from enemies. And that's what God does for us physically speaking. That's what God certainly does for us spiritually speaking. David Dixon says this, and you'll find this quote on the back of your outline. He says, the believer is not exempted by his faith from trouble, but he is exempted from being taken, overcome, and destroyed by it. Right, you see what he's saying there? Right, you may not be saved from the pestilence. You may not be delivered from the arrow. But as one who trusts in the Lord, you are saved from the evil and the fear of both of them. Right? Your soul is secure. Right? You're able to be at peace within no matter what is going on in your life. That's what it's promising here. Let's move on. Third, God is a place of refuge for you because he always works for your utmost good. He always works for your utmost good. Verses 9 and 10, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you. Or to put that a different way, while it may seem like evil is happening to you, God says it's not. Why? Because God is overruling the evil and transforming it into something that is good for you. So remember Joseph. This is the obvious example, but what an important example. Joseph's own brothers betrayed him and sold him into slavery, leaving him for dead. And yet, boys and girls, what did Joseph know about his circumstances? He knew that while his brothers meant evil against him, God, through his brothers' evil, actually meant good for him and for others. And so in the ultimate sense, then, being betrayed and sold into slavery was not an evil to Joseph, but a blessing from God. Right? And that's true for all believers who hope in the Lord. Right? He overrules the evil and he transforms it into something good for you. Right? Something that draws you closer to God. Right? Something that works to remove sin from your life. Something that strengthens your faith. Speaking of the believer, Charles Spurgeon says, "Ill to him is no ill, but only good in a mysterious form." I think that's a good description. He goes on, "Losses enrich him. Sickness is his medicine. Reproach is his honor. Death is his gain. No evil in the strict sense of the word can happen to him, for everything is overruled for good. Happy is he who is in such a case. He is secure where others are in peril." Right, that's a promise we can take to the bank and cash. Fourth, God is a place of refuge for you because he protects his people with the angels. Verses 11 and 12. "For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Hebrews 1:14 says that angels are ministering spirits sent forth by God to do what? To care for the church, to minister to the church. Right? So God is protecting and providing for you by the unseen angels. Do you realize that? They have been charged with your care by God to keep you in all of your ways. Now, we don't see that with our eyes, do we? We often forget that it's even happening. But the Bible says this is the reality. Right? God's angels are everywhere, and God's angels are caring for us. Right? Fighting against evil for you. Right? Supplying you with what you need in that moment. Even Jesus, the Bible says, in his earthly ministry, was strengthened by the angels. And so we are too, as those who look to the Lord for help. This makes God the refuge of his people. He has a mighty group of angels under his control to care for his people. Fifth, God is a place of refuge for you because he empowers his people to overcome the enemy. He empowers his people to overcome the enemy. At verse 13, "You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot." All right, so if the enemy is physical, all right, this is always a real possibility. God may enable us to defend ourselves and be secure from the harm they intend towards us. But this is definitely true for our spiritual enemies. Namely, the ones who try to destroy our faith, the ones who try to fill us with fear. God says by his power, we can resist their lies. We can remain firm in the Lord. We can crush their heads with our feet. That's good news, isn't it? Right? In the moments of danger, right, we feel afraid because we think we're powerless. God is here reminding us that by his power, we're not powerless against the enemy. Right, with God's help, we can overcome. With God's help, we can be victorious. Having him on our side, we are not, nor are we ever, as vulnerable as we may feel or think in the moment. God gives us strength and courage to confront our fears and to defeat our foe. And then sixth, God is a place of refuge because he's always with his people. Verse 15, "I will be with him in trouble." And is it not true that we are often afraid in times of trouble because we think that we are alone? We may even feel abandoned by God and left to ourselves, or we think that if the situation is ever going to improve or get better, it's up to me to do it. But while it may feel that way, Psalm 91 here is assuring us of what is really true. Because the reality is, God is with us. No matter where we are, no matter what may happen to us, God is with us. And he's not only with us, but he is with us to help us. And we sang this earlier in Psalm 46, verse 1.
God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble.
And that's why it's always to be comforting to us to know of the Lord's presence, because the Lord's presence is always a protecting presence, right? It's a presence that provides and that helps and that gives grace that we need to endure, and the courage we need and the peace that we need. Again, Charles Spurgeon has many great quotes on this psalm. He says, God is always near in sympathy and in power to help his tried ones. And isn't that wonderful? In sympathy and in power, he is near to help us. All right, so for all these reasons, Psalm 91 says, God is a place of refuge for his people. And you see, as believers in Christ, he is a refuge not just for you to know about and learn about, but he is a refuge for you to enjoy and benefit from in the midst of every one of your troubles and trials. And for that, we have Jesus Christ himself to thank. 10 years ago, when Africa was dealing with an outbreak of Ebola, many were trying to find safety in other parts of the continent. And so many folks who were living in West Africa, where the outbreak was at its worst, were trying to get down to South Africa, where it seemed there was the greatest amount of safety. Right? But it was a journey of roughly 1,800 miles, which meant not everyone could make it. Maybe it was due to financial needs, maybe it was due to their age. Many were unable to go, and so many were unable to have that place of protection. Well, what we need to realize is that so it would be for us had not Jesus Christ come into this world. This is also what Psalm 91 tells us. We would have no safe place in the midst of a dangerous, dangerous world. But thanks be to God, Jesus did enter this dangerous world. And Jesus took on danger head to head and overcame it for us so that we could be helped and delivered. Jesus took on the lion and the cobra, and he did what? He trampled them under his feet, and he defeated evil on our behalf so that we could be brought to the Lord and have a place of refuge. And so this is why the psalm is saying, through Christ, we have God as our refuge. And that is what makes all the difference in the midst of danger. If God is our refuge, then we can be helped and delivered. We can be safe and secure. We don't have to live in fear. We don't have to worry and wonder what's going to happen. No, if God is our refuge, we can rest in peace. And so verse 5 says, you shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day. That's something only the believer can say, and only because God is his refuge. And so thirdly and finally, what are we to do? Well, in the midst of danger, we're to make the Lord our refuge. So we just saw believers in Jesus have a refuge in God Almighty. That's true for every believer, you and me and everyone else. But if it's true, right, why is it then that we're often so fearful? Well, it's not because we lack a place of safety. We have one. It's because we often look for safety in the wrong places. Instead of trusting God to keep us, we trust in something else to keep us. Rather than look to God for help, we look elsewhere for help. Doctors, money, weapons, you name it. Now, of course, those things all have their rightful place. Right? David says in the Psalms, I do not trust in my bow. But did David have a bow? Yes. Did David use his bow? Yes. In the same way, trusting in the Lord does not negate the use of human means. Biblical prudence commands us to employ such means. Nevertheless, while the means of protection and help are important, Psalm 91 reminds us that they are never, ever to be the object of our faith and assurance. Why? Because none of them can give us what we really need. Yes, they can give us a sense of safety. Yes, they can afford us with protection, and that's good. But at the same time, Psalm 91 says, but God is our only refuge, right? Because only God is the sovereign one. Because only God is the one who keeps his people safe. Only God is the one who overcomes evil for good and protects with mighty angels and empowers to overcome evil and who never, ever, ever leaves our side. As such, only God is the one we can always depend on. Only God is the one who can perfectly supply us with help. Only God is the one who can do for us what no one else can do. And so it reasons, God, of course, then is to be the one we look to for refuge. And you see, it's as we look to God for refuge that we enjoy the blessing of his refuge. Right? Look again here at verse 1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Right, do you get the flow there? The latter blessing comes from the former obedience. Right? In other words, how do you enjoy shelter under the shadow of the Almighty? Answer, by dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. Right? Or as we see in verse 4, what is the way to be covered with his feathers? It's by taking refuge in his wings. And so the psalm goes on and recounts this in other ways. It's when you make the Lord your refuge that no evil shall befall you, verses 9 and 10. It's when you set your love upon him that he will deliver you, verse 14. In the words of one author, he who makes God his refuge shall find him a refuge. Do you see that in the text? He who makes God a refuge shall find him a refuge. That's the way to enjoy calm in the storm and be helped in your hour of need. That's the way to be safe and unafraid at night. Yes, you take the necessary precautions. Yes, you employ the means that God has provided. But more than that, you find your refuge in him. And how do you do that, practically speaking? Well, first and foremost, you trust God. You trust God. Verse 2 makes it clear. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. So what? My God, in him I will trust. Right? To make the Lord your refuge, you don't put your confidence in man or in man's invention, but in the Lord. Right? You rely upon him, his character, his power to help and protect. Right? You depend on his mercy and his knowledge and his hatred of sin and his love for his people and so forth. That's where you rest. And to trust in the Lord, of course, you need to trust in his word. Verse 4, he shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Now, some other translations say faithfulness instead of truth. Either way, the idea here is that God is faithful to his truth. God keeps his word, and God's faithfulness to his word, the psalm says, is what? It's like a shield and a buckler. God's word and the assurance that God keeps every word he gives us here is something that protects us from harm and something that enables us to withstand attack. And does that not remind you of the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16, where the Apostle Paul says, above all, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And so Psalm 91 is reminding us, it's faith in God's unbreakable word that protects us from fear and worry and doubt. It's belief in the message of Scripture that strengthens our heart and keeps our knees from knocking. It's the Bible, as we trust what it says and promises, that will keep us. Because God is faithful to his word, and his faithfulness to his word is like a shield and buckler. So to have peace in the midst of danger, you have to be in the word of God. You have to let his truth direct your thoughts and guide your actions. You have to remember his promises and apply them to your particular situation. Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you
because he trusts in you. And the added benefit is it's as you go to the Word of God that your faith is nourished and strengthened. So to make the Lord your refuge, you have to trust in God and in His Word. And then second, as you trust in God and His Word, you make the Lord your refuge by calling upon Him in prayer. Calling upon Him in prayer. Verse 15, He shall call upon me and I will answer Him. Right, so this is simple theology, yes, but how important it is. God is saying, like His promises, seeking God in prayer is a means of grace for you in the dangerous world. When you get fearful, God will grant you peace through prayer. Prayer is what God will use to build up your faith. Prayer is what will console your worried heart. Prayer will be the means of your deliverance, if God sees fit. Psalm 50, verse 15, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. Right? Now, sometimes prayer is the last thing we think to do, isn't it? Sadly, in a moment of crisis, we don't pray as we should. And yet prayer should be the first thing we do. Now, granted, there's always more we can do than pray. And perhaps there is more we should do than pray. But as John Bunyan once said, and I'm sure you've heard this before, you can do more than pray after you have prayed, but you cannot do more than pray until you have prayed. Right? Prayer has to be first. You think again of the armor of God. Paul lists out all the pieces of armor in Ephesians 6, and then at the end he says there's this one thing that has to happen that enables you to wear all of the pieces of armor and be protected by all of the pieces of the armor. And what was that last thing he mentions? Prayer, he says. Right? None of us can stand in the battle without prayer. In many ways, it's the greatest, most powerful weapon in the Christian's arsenal. And so Psalm 91 is saying, use it. Don't leave it locked up in safety. Get it out and use prayer. To make the Lord your refuge, trust in Him and call upon Him, the psalm says. Which means, to put it differently, to enjoy refuge in the Lord, you need to adhere to the Lord. You need to abide in Him and stay close to Him through the Word and prayer. And that is when your fears will be quelled. And that's when your heart will be calmed. That's when you'll have courage in the face of danger. Charles Spurgeon again says so helpfully, the more closely we cling to our Almighty Father, the more confident may we be. And is it not confidence in the Lord that we need, perhaps more than anything else, in perilous times? As I think of the various dangers I've encountered in my life, the fear that accompanies the danger is often the worst part. Have you ever experienced that? It can be far worse than the danger itself. Because while the danger may be serious, the fear can be absolutely tormenting. Right? It's the fear that keeps you up at night asking questions like, what's going to happen? What is the test result going to say? Who is going to come to my door? Am I going to be okay? Is something worse going to happen? That's what fear does. It leads to that great question, what if? What if? And that is not only distracting, that can be debilitating. That's what leaves you worn out and downtrodden. And you see, confidence in the Lord is the remedy. That's what protects from fear and delivers from fear. And so as you experience the threat of danger in whatever form, maybe it's sickness, maybe it's suffering, maybe it's physical harm, whatever it might be, Psalm 91 says being confident in the Lord is what's going to keep you from being distracted and what's going to keep you from desponding. David Dixon says it well, the true remedy against tormenting fear is faith in God. So brothers and sisters, you live in a dangerous world, but look to the one who is your safety. Put your trust in Him. Stay close to Him. And by faith, be confident in Him, because then He will be your refuge. And then you will be in your safe place. Let's pray. Our Lord, we do pray that you would apply Psalm 91 to each of us tonight. Lord, you know the various circumstances in our lives, and you know what this week holds for us, or what 10 years have in store for us. And so, Lord, we pray that we would listen to your word tonight, that we would believe it, and that we would do it. So give us help to do it. We pray, O Lord, that our faith would be in you, that we would live by faith, making you, O God, our refuge. Thank you that you are our refuge. So, Lord, keep us close to you. Fill us with faith and cause us to cry out in prayer that, Lord, we might then experience the wonderful blessing of being in the safe tower, of being in the sanctuary, of being in the bunker, as it were, of resting in the shelter of the Almighty. Lord, grant us that this evening, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.